And I present to you Brother Joe Gilmore from San Jose, California.
Today, I'd like to read a portion of the fifth chapter of the Gospel of John. Because this will serve as the basis of our lesson for the comments to follow. So in the study of this chapter, chapter 5, begin reading at verse 1. And after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market of food, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. And these lay a great multitude of infant poor, blind, off, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season in the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. And Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case. He said unto him, "Thou be made whole." The impotent man answered him, "Sir, I am a man when the water has troubled to put me in the pool. But when I am coming, another steppeth down before me." Jesus said unto him, "Rise, take up thy bed, and walk." And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, "Is it the Sabbath day? Is it not lawful for thee to carry thy bed?" He answered them, "He that made me whole, same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk." Then asked they him, "What man is that said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk?" And he that was healed wist not who it was. For Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. After Jesus finding him in the temple, said unto him, "Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come unto thee." The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. Therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then Jesus answered Jesus and said unto them, "Very, very, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself. But what he saith the Father doeth, or what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. And all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. And he that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which has sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." You have listened to the reading of a portion of the fifth chapter of the book of John. Very profound and important thing happened in this sermon. There was an impotent man, a cripple, paralytic. He had been crippled for more years than our Lord had existed upon the face of earth. Jesus died at the age of about 33 and a half. Here was been a cripple 38 years of his life. Now, we observe something as we look at this chapter. That is that the charge of the Jews, they didn't belittle Jesus for healing the man. There was no criticism at all for healing the man. But they belittled Jesus and they criticized Jesus because the man took up his bed and walked on the Sabbath day. So again we say, there was no comment about the healing. Only the comment was about the taking up the bed and walking. We're told it was on a Sabbath day, the Sabbath. Jesus had made his journey and he came to the pool. He confronted Pharisaic prejudice. And the Pharisees were at work here. Jesus had before encountered the Pharisees, rather. He had encountered them when we read in the 12th chapter of the book of Matthew that his disciples went through a corn field. And they put corn, they rubbed the grain on the Sabbath. And the rulers of the Jews were opposed to that kind and called it work on the Sabbath day. And then there was a man with a withered hand. And Jesus asked him to put forth his hand. The man with the withered hand was healed. And Jesus pointed out that the Jews would help the sheep in the ditch. The sheep were in the pit. They would help the sheep. They would cause the sheep to escape the pit. Save the sheep. Then Jesus brought forth one of the most profound lessons that any man has ever heard. That a man is worth more than a sheep. Amen. So if the Jews would put forth a hand to save the sheep in a pit, then here's a man with a withered hand. And wouldn't it be wonderful to heal that man with a withered hand? Jesus asked the man with a withered hand to stretch it forth, and he healed that man. Question now, could Jesus cure the paralytic? The man who was crippled, who did not have the strength to walk to the pool to be healed. When another would start the pool, he'd run ahead of him and get into the pool. Here was a man, a 40 priest, back in the temple. They easily could have come out and helped this man, but even the priests didn't care. They were indifferent to a man's need. And this man could not even have the strength to roll into the pool. No man would help him. Now could Jesus cure the paralytic, the cripple. A man who had been crippled for 38 years of his life. Drop down to verse 17 with me for just a moment. And Jesus answered them, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." I have read this passage of Scripture so many times. My Lord takes the higher road. He now goes to the work of the Father, what his Father has done. My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Why have the benevolent works haven't stopped? It doesn't matter what day of the week it is. Benevolent works of the Father have not stopped. And the works of our Lord Jesus, getting forth of the great commandment, the great commission, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That work has not stopped. A benevolent work, soul-saving work, and we do that on the first day of the week just as we do it on Saturday. And we do it on Monday just as we do it on the first day of the week. Thus the benevolent works of my God and my Lord, they continue on. And I am impressed as I read Acts the 10th chapter and verse 38, where he said of Jesus, he went about doing good. Oh, how I like that passage of Scripture. The entire life of my Lord is summed up in one declarative passage of Scripture. He went about doing good. So the Father worked hitherto, and I work. Now Jesus explains his relationship to the Father. What relationship is that? Open your Bibles and begin with me at verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself. But what he saith the Father doeth. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. What do we learn? We learn the Father shows and the Son sees. The Father presents what is to be done, and the Son performs the work that the Father wants done. For as the Father raises up the dead, quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. Thus life here. And we read in the 11th chapter of the book of John, and in verse 25, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. The healing of the impotent man at the tomb of Bethsaida shows the power of our Lord Jesus. Thus the healing is connected with the great power Christ has. I am the resurrection and the life. We have a powerful Savior. Then again, we see the Lord speaks of himself. He talks of the Father. Then he comes in the vein of speaking as the Son. What relationship Christ sustains to the Father. And we look and see the Father honored the Son. And then, verily I say unto you, verse 24, he that heareth my words, notice, calling attention to himself, and believeth on him that sent me, Jesus is sent by the Father, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Jesus calls attention to himself. Thus, the power of my Lord is connected with the healing of the cripple, who has been crippled for more years than our Lord existed or lived upon the face of the earth. Then I want you to go back with me to verse 5 of this chapter for just a moment. Or verse 3. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, the blind and all withered, waiting for the moving of the water. We have something here in the nature of the miracle performed by Jesus. He sees before him a life just as we see it today. We look then to see what the Lord saw. Empty, full, blind, and halt, and withered, waiting for the moving of the water. Well, the Lord spiritually, he saw people that were spiritually blind. But also he saw people physically blind. Withered, waiting for the moving of the water. Now the people who were maimed, who were halt, who were spiritually blind, they had one common purpose. What purpose? They were waiting for the angel to trouble the water. Thus, all of them looked forward to trouble the water. They had one common purpose. They knew that whoever stepped in the water after the angel had troubled the water, they would be made whole. Now that brings us today to the blood of Jesus Christ. It's on the basis of whosoever. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. You know, the denominations today do more preaching about the blood of Christ than we do. But alas and alas, they never tell men how to enter the blood. We are told in Romans chapter 6 and verse 3, Know ye not so many of us as were baptized with Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Our Lord shed his blood in death. We are baptized into his death. It is in baptism that one reaches the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Thus the denominations talk about the blood of Jesus, about his cleansing power. And then they never tell people how to apply the blood. When does the blood save? The precious blood of my Lord. Here these people have one common purpose. That is, to get into the water when it was troubled. All mankind today has a common purpose. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Then let's look at verse 5. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity, 38 years, back in verse 4, we find an agent. And this agent is the angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after troubling the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Now this is very similar to our salvation today. It is typical of our salvation. There was an agent in the salvation or in the healing of the that agent was an angel that stepped down and troubled the water. Now we have agents today. We have Christ, the giver. We have the Holy Spirit, the comforter. And we have His Word. There are so many people today that believe in direct salvation. The Holy Spirit operates directly. In John the 14th chapter in verse 26, Jesus says, speaking the comforter, when He is come, He will teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I have said to you. Friend, that's language to the apostle. That is the language to us. Then we turn to the parable of the sower. In the 8th chapter of the book of Luke and verse 11, the seed is the word of God. And then they are at the wayside. Now, who are the wayside receivers? Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of his heart, lest he should believe and the suffer. The Bible doesn't teach the direct operation of the Holy Spirit. Now, what does the devil want to do? Devil wants to take away the word out of your heart, lest you believe and be saved. That's the work of the devil today. We need to be out preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is so much we could talk about in this parable, but I want to drop down now to verse 11. After the whosoever would enter the water, of course he would be healed. And Jesus taught that the getting of the water would be healed. Then I want to come to verse 11 of this chapter, which I believe to be one of the most powerful scriptures to be found within the confines of the entirety of the 5th chapter of the book of John. So let us look at verse 11 for just a moment. He actually said, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. Now, the Lord talked about being made whole to this man previously. That's in the present tense. He had been made whole, present tense. Then the Lord talked about the future tense. In other words, this man could sin again. That's so typical of us today. We can become children of the Lord, members of the Lord's church. Then right after we're baptized into Christ, we can go out and sin again. Now, we'll notice verse 11. He answered them, he that made me whole, the same said to me, take up thy bed and walk. In other words, there are people today who still reject Christ. They reject God. Ever there were a time that we need to bring gospel preaching and bring the Bible back, we're living in days just like this. This man didn't know first that it was Jesus he healed. Jesus healed the man and then withdrew. He immediately withdrew. Then later he finds the same man in the temple. Then Jesus points out that he had been made whole. Then Jesus warns him of the future that he could sin again. Notice the present and notice the future. You know, we need to bring the Bible back to a lot of people today.
Amen.
I wish I had time to attending of this lesson. I'm only cut half through. I'm shot through and through, lacking in time. And now he tells me I've got 4 minutes. I'd like to bring the Bible back today to a lot of people. The Bible needs to be brought back to the lives of people.
Amen.
How we need it so greatly today. That man didn't know it was Jesus that healed. He didn't know it. Jesus is a great spiritual healer today. Thousands of people do not know it. They're even members of the church. The Lord's healer. They don't know it. They do not carry out His word. They don't live as He wants them to live. They don't worship as the Lord demands that they worship. They need to know it. And we read back in the Old Testament, David said, "Thy word that I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Colossians 3, verse 16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom." We need today the word of God at the very center of our impulses, our ambitions. We need the Bible, the word of God, at the very center of our affections.
Amen.
You know why we need the Bible? We need it because it is inspired, meaning God's word. Paul said all scripture given the inspiration of God. Profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction, and righteousness. The man of God may be perfect and truly furnished unto all good works. The preachers of bygone days. It hurts me today to see young preachers belittle those preachers.
Amen.
Amen.
I don't believe they ought to do it. And I'd like to tell all the young preachers that's going to belittle the preachers of the past and make fun of them. I'd like to do a mass repentance. Put up a big old tent like we used to. And I'd like to tell all those preachers in Nashville, Tennessee, what the preachers of the past preached. I was back there when those great preachers lived. I heard them. I know what they preached. I saw them stand with the Bible in their hand. And in one sermon, they preached from Genesis to Revelation. You know what they preached? They preached the infallibility of the Scriptures. They believed they were verbally inspired, sense and in sense. They preached the authority of the Scriptures. They preached the totality of the Scriptures. They preached the finality of the Scriptures. They preached the conditions of pardon, the items of worship, and the importance of the church. And I ask you, what can we leave out today? What can we leave out today? I dare you to belittle one of those great old preachers in my presence. I won't listen to it. I won't tolerate it. I knew what C.R. Nichols preached. I knew what Joe Blue preached. Boy Wallace Sr., Boy Wallace Jr., I could go down the line and show that they preached everything that a man is supposed to preach. You know why we have so many fads in the church today? I thought that I'd never see what I see today. Used to, a fad would come along, and then the fellow that brought it would get out of the church and teach it. Or he'd stay in a little while and give us time to look it over, and time we worked it over, and him over, he was straightened up and got out of church.
Amen.
Now then, they're everywhere, bringing so many things. Buster, we're having a job to write about all of them, keeping up on them, aren't we? And you know why we're having so many of these fads today? Why? You ought to read Matthew chapter 22 and verse 29.
Amen.
And you to earth not knowing the Scriptures. So when the day comes, we come back to the Scriptures. People quit the deathbed stories. And when they quit preaching their hobbies, and we come back to the Bible, then we'll do away with the fads and the isms that are in the church today. I thank you.